Welcome to Alternate Soundtrack City Tour Number 2, from Hamburg, featuring Cora Junger. If you can hear my voice, you probably have a radio tuned to 88.9 FM and are standing either inside of or in front of Southern Exposure Gallery at 25th and Mission Streets in San Francisco. Last month, we explored the perimeter of the NPR signal with the tour entitled Out of Bounds. This month, we stay close to home and venture further afield. Cora Junger lived in San Francisco for several years before returning to Hamburg, Germany, where she lives currently. For this tour, Cora prepared a small book of drawings that she used to help her recall whatever she could about the mission. We have isolated those memories that occur within the radius of our transmitter and asked Cora to talk a little more about them using internet telephony. Cora's side of the conversation was recorded, and the following soundtrack was produced by processing and editing together her words and by exploiting some of the distortions that digital communications can generate. Follow the map provided and notice the approximate amount of time that you have to get to each point on the tour. All of the sounds on the tour refer to images in Cora's book. You should have enough time as you follow the tour to occasionally stop and leaf through the pages of the book. You will also want to look up occasionally to see if Cora's memories from Hamburg match the realities in San Francisco. Without further ado, we will now begin Alternate Soundtrack Tour Number 2, From Hamburg, featuring Cora Junger. Begin by walking towards 26th Street on the east side of the street, that's the same side that Southern Exposure is on, and continue walking until you reach the El Rio Bar.
It's very funny. Every time I go back to San Francisco, I have this feeling of shyness when I go there, and I think it's probably because when I arrived in the States, my English was really awful. I'm not saying that it's so much better now, but it was really awful back then, and so I arrived and I was really I felt this personal connection to the mission without ever being there, having been there, and that's because I speak Spanish fluently. So I thought, if nobody understands me anywhere else, I can just go there and I can talk to people there. That was kind of my thoughts about it, and I still have them, but it never works. No, my Spanish never worked out. That was probably one of my biggest disappointments at the beginning, because I thought, well, great, I go there, and then I can go to any shop and I can buy groceries because I can do it in Spanish. But I figured that the people there didn't want to talk to me in Spanish. They wanted to talk English to me, but when they just talked with each other, they spoke Spanish, and I was really confused about the fact. Yeah. So it didn't really help me at all. And I felt probably even more lonely at the beginning there than anywhere else. I'm San Francisco from 98 to 2001. and 98 to 2008, 98 from 90, just go from 98 to 2001. And, starting art in Hamburg, I got the possibility to go to the U.S. Through a Fulbright scholarship, and they actually sent me to San Francisco. So I arrived there in August 98 in downtown, and looking for an apartment, I found a place in North Beach where I stayed for 3 years, and I studied at the San Francisco Art Institute and did my master's degree there. After that, I worked a little bit at a bank, Wells Fargo, and I moved back in 2001 to Hamburg. Exactly. I was, exactly. I lived in San Francisco for 3 years. I made it to the mission not that often, but most of the times probably at night to go for drinks with friends. Most of my friends lived in the mission at that time, so but it wasn't like the my daily neighborhood. It was always like taking a trip to the mission by bus. So. Nobody understands. One week in after one of my visits in the mission, I was taking the bus back to Market Street, and we're still on Mission Street, and this really, really, really tall black guy in this white fur entered the bus, and it was, as I remember, it was really warm that day, and so it really looked a little bit funny that he was wearing this really big white fur, and he looked very funny. And he was sitting in the bus or standing in the bus, and the buses are always really crowded. And the bus stopped because it lost the connection to the power, and the bus driver had to leave to fix it in the back. And this guy who just entered with a white fur coat, he all of a sudden thought he should take over the bus and go on. So I think most of the people figured that at that point that he was really drunk, and he kind of moved a little bit drunk to the front of the bus and tried to start it, which didn't work because they were still fixing and everything. But there was this really weird moment where everybody got really scared and looked at each other, which also makes it really nice because everybody actually looks at each other, which people normally don't do so much. It went really briefly, everything, because the bus driver saw it from the back, and he came running, and he yelled at the guy, and he just didn't know what he did wrong. He just wanted to drive the bus and help, so it was quite strange. Well, I think you try to put a violent gesture into somebody who's doing something like that, you know. It's like, but at the end it wasn't like that. But I was at one moment I was really scared because I didn't know if he could actually really drive the bus or not. I mean, how do I know how to drive that bus? Maybe it's really easy. Maybe you don't even need a key for it, or maybe the key was there. And so everybody, I think, was thinking about, is there a key? Can he actually drive the bus or not? I mean, all of a sudden, you start thinking about technical possibilities that would make him drive the car, like the bus. all of a sudden you start thinking about the technical, like if it's technical possible that somebody can actually drive a bus, some stranger, and you have never thought about it because you enter the bus and you sit there and you wait till you get where you want to get out. And I think like everybody, or at least I, was just like, oh my God, is she actually possible? Is that possible that he can just drive the bus? And then, I mean, he was huge. He just didn't even fit into that seat of the bus driver. It was just really strange. Yeah. Well, they probably wouldn't have cared. The memory of of the interior of El Rio are very, very dark. I mean, if I could see myself going in there right now, I would step into a door that is very thick and wooden, and the entire interior is really dark wooden, and it has round tables that are pretty low. And I think it's very steep in the back. I mean, it's a big place. Yeah. It's just like a black hole in the back. Probably it's really bright there, but in my memories, the rear is just like a black hole in the back. But it seems like. Yes, I think my very first interview was because of the attempt of Paula trying to see if I would be interested in her. Oh, Paula. Paula was or probably still is, but at that time was a good friend of my roommate Robert, who had different kinds of friends, and Paula, she was lesbian, and she went. I just arrived and I just moved into the place, and she came for a visit, and I thought she really thought that I was kind of cute, and that I, since I wasn't, I just arrived in San Francisco, I maybe should try to see if I would like women, and she kind of made it as her task to figure that out. Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly. I mean, she actually said it a couple of times too, so it was very funny, but still, also then, back then, my English wasn't that good, and I was always a little bit confused about her. I mean, she was really cute too, but unfortunately, didn't work out. Well, I thought it was a nice attempt, but I'm just not into women, so. Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of her attempt, that Robert and her should take me there and, to hang out with me at El Rio, because that would be a good place to figure out what I was, like, heading to. No, that was more personally. Yeah, I think Paula was interested in seeing if I would be interested in women, but especially in her, like with her trying, figuring out. Well. Yeah, it's. I think you can figure it out. I mean, you figure just in the subconscious surroundings that are like happening, and in the way she was like putting attention into me. But but we never went any further, and everything, like my memories are so blurred about that whole evening. So. Yes, I think my very first visit at the Rio was because of the of trying to see Temp of Polarity, if I'm interested in her. Trying to see if I would be interested in her. Yes, I think my very first visit at the Rio was
that was Mexican style.
I know that I'm looking at it. When I drew it, I thought about, I think, Frida Kahlo or something. Yeah. Yeah, because I can't really respond to what I drew. I mean, that's a different level. One of my first visits to the the first days I arrived in San Francisco, I really wanted to go to the mission because I thought I could speak Spanish there and buy stuff there because my English was so bad. And since I used to live for a year in Chile, I thought that sounds perfect, like Mexico, Chile, Latin America, and I would know like what they were selling in the grocery stores and the bakeries. So I was really hungry that morning, and I went to the mission and I saw all these bakeries on Mission Street, and I actually didn't really recognize so much what was in the windows, and I thought that was a little bit stupid of me thinking that maybe it's all the same, which was not all the same. And there were not all Mexicans, and there were maybe from Honduras. But still, I thought, okay, whatever, I don't have to know what they're selling, but at least I can ask because they speak Spanish. So I was really like shy standing in front of the bakery, and I entered and I tried to speak Spanish to the woman there, and she just didn't answer me. I mean, and then I thought maybe she doesn't understand me, and then she said something in English, and I just didn't understand what she was saying because her accent was probably as strong as my accent. And so then I got so confused about the fact that it didn't work out, like speaking Spanish there, that I left the bakery, and I was still hungry, but then I was so disappointed of myself that I didn't make it to even buy something at a bakery. So I remember walking along Mission Street and being really hungry, but not feeling like self-assured enough to like enter one more bakery. Yeah, I felt like lost in my own German thinking thoughts, which were not connecting neither in Spanish or English. That was really sad. I think when I was drawing it, I thought that was more like a Mexican country style dress, but once I was doing it, I figured it looks kind of German, and maybe that's the entire confusion of languages and people and everything that really happened there at the beginning, that also now in my drawings it just looks really confusing, and I don't know who's like the one that is wrong in the spot. And I still think it's probably me who was wrong in the spot. I don't know.
I wouldn't mind.
Sure.
I try to be very polite here.
Well, the funny thing is, I spent more than a year entirely in South America, but when I came to the mission, I just figured that the people just really, like Hispanic people there, just look so differently from the people that I
had known before, and I thought they all look very, very beautiful, and there's a certain way of like their eyes and the way they were like walking around, and I think that like the mission and its like Hispanic heritage, it has a different how do you say now I know the Spanish word. No, like the time of moving around, like the path. No, it's like
the time of moving, like the path.
No, I forgot the word. It's more like tiempo. Everywhere, like in Chinatown, people move so like fast. And I always feel like since I live very close to Chinatown, that people were very like aggressive in their walking style, and I ended up always walking on the street there because I couldn't go on the next to the stores because it was always so crowded there. And in the mission, I always felt it was like a little bit like melancholic, slower style. People walking there and talking to each other and standing at the corners and interchanging things and young Spanish families with their kids and I always really enjoyed that. Even it wasn't familiar to me at all. I felt kind of connected to it, just like being a viewer there, somebody watching it from the outside. That's our profession.
The last two times that I stayed in San Francisco, I stayed in a mission, so I feel pretty connected now to the place.
I actually tried to be very polite here, so to not put myself in any kind of awkward situation. I mean, it's your show. It's not my show. I'm just your guest.
That war he goes because of the attempt of.
I wouldn't mind.
That war he goes. That war he goes. That war he go to your doctor's. That war he goes.
14 runs through the entire mission.
And then another part that I really like on the mission, and I still really like is, as I like to say, Doc's Clock. But I think it's called Doc Clock. I don't know. Or Clock Clock. Doc's Clock. Yeah, but that's what I always think about. It's Doc's Clock. It's like dogs. Yeah, like animals. Yeah. It's more like an animal watch than something with a Haber. So. With the animals. Yeah. Well, the dog, as I see the name with the animals, it feels much cozy than when I think of the Haber bar, which is more like tough. I never consider Dog's Clock as anything like a tough bar. Even it's that bar is really dark inside, but it's like when you have very warm experiences or like, yeah, or memories or nice things happen, then it gets really cozy and my memory about that place is more cozy. I actually call the llamas the animals.
Okay, what's
yeah.
That's the entire
It's your show. It's not my show.
Well, when I arrived in San Francisco, smoking wasn't allowed anymore in bars, just like illegally. So I just had to like get used to smoking outside, which I thought was very funny. Including smoking outside of Ducks Club was always very much fun. You're standing in this big street, and other people come out, and you start talking, and you get a lot of people to know what they're doing. I mean, if you're a stranger somewhere, it's always good to smoke. Many people smoke there outside. I was not used to any kind of social relation. I was not used that smoking actually was connected to socializing in a certain way until I got to San Francisco. And then I figured that it was really an advantage of smoking outside. Because if you're in a bar with a nice crowd, you are always able to meet new people and get to know them. If you're just standing outside and smoking, you're just pretending to smoke or whatever. But it gives you it makes like a communication space. And I think, and I actually met I didn't write this, but I met this German guy there once, which was really funny. He was an ex-boyfriend from a good friend of mine. It was very funny. Yeah.
No, but he was at that time the boyfriend of
or however she's called.
Yeah, and I remember last time I'm meeting her husband, so, and he thought this guy was still, yeah, so whatever. No, I can't do that. I can never go back there. Yeah. Yeah, sure. If it doesn't go to back to A, then everything is fine, but you know. Yeah, great. No.
Now I have to repeat it? I can't repeat stuff.
Shit.
I can't repeat. Yeah, but you have training, not me. Great. I'm dying now. Bye bye, Lee. Bye. Yeah, but now I'm out of it. Okay, let's see. Yeah, so oh, The alley in Mission, I actually like the alley that I have gone. I actually got to know it just like 3 years ago when I was staying with friends in the Mission on Cap Street, and so I had an apartment for myself on top of their apartment, and I spent a decent amount of time hanging out on the in the back porch, and the back porch goes to this alley that I was really confused about, because sitting there and looking at it, it felt so strange that the alley is only used for cars going to park and putting the trash outside to get picked up, and that's like the only reason for being an alley. That feels kind of awkward to me, that's like the two main functions of a street. A back street, that doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, it's back access, exactly. But it's just bad access. It's bad access. Nobody would ever walk on that alley. That's a back porch. Like this firecase, like the fire stairs, wooden fire stairs that go down. And I don't know how it's called, but they have like all those plants on the porch, and you access the porch through the kitchen. Exactly. Just sitting there watching over the fence how people park their cars and how the trash cans were waiting for removal. I think, as everybody does, you always try to find like your private spot in a city environment, and the porch during my stay was really like my private, like, secret spot for me, like thinking about stuff, what was going on, what happened, what I wanted to do. So I like to sit just there on the floor between the plants and look at the garbage cans. That sounds maybe a little bit awkward. Well, I think that trip in 2003 with the porch was one of the trips that I like to do since I moved back to Germany, in order to meet my friends and to know what is happening. But it also always allows me, to get away from what I'm actually doing and in Germany, and it always gives you moments to rethink, like, if I want to do my work as I want to do it, is this the life, how I want to do it, all this stuff, definitely. I mean, that's why trips are there for, I think. But, yeah. But I mean, for me, every time going back to San Francisco, and it doesn't matter in which neighborhood I stay, it's always the question why I actually moved back to Germany. I mean, it's like so many memories pop up again in my mind, and everything feels so close and so familiar. So that's I always need this time off for myself there to figure out if that was a good decision or not. I still don't know. Sitting there watching the garbage cans and thinking about if I should stay in San Francisco because the view is so nice. No, but I think watching garbage cans, I mean, it's like San Francisco is so beautiful on so many spots, so it's good to have a spot that is not just beautiful in order to, like, to get your mindset free. Like, North Beach is so too much beautiful because I have too many, like, connections now there. The last two times that I stayed in San Francisco, I stayed in the Mission, so I feel pretty connected now to the place.
Thank you for taking the Alternate Soundtrack City Tour on Neighborhood Public Radio. Many thanks to Cora Younger for the images and stories, Southern Exposure for the facilities and support, and of course, the Creative Work Fund, without which none of this would have been possible. Continue up 25th Street to return to Southern Exposure, and if you have a moment, stop into Mission Pie Cafe and have a cup of coffee. This tour was produced by Neighborhood Public Radio in association with Cora Younger. Production by Lee Montgomery.